this. I met Chris through Mike and Bonnie Bone, who are members of your church community. And I met Mike and Bonnie through my Bible study, and my support group is here. I have my boyfriend Brian here, and I also have my Bible study because I'm a member of Cable CrossFit. So my Bible study people are here today. So I feel very supported, but I'm so excited to have so many people here. Through this process, Bonnie and Mike saw me speak. I am a member. I might just need you to do this, babe. So here I am. I am a member of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. That is where my church home and my church family is. And then my Bible study family is Cable Strength at Cable CrossFit. So I am a member of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. And through that, I did a presentation about, it was maybe 2 years ago now or a year ago. And Mike and Bonnie came to see it. And Mike immediately came up to me and said, "You have got to meet Chris." And I was like, "All right." And so then we met and sat down, and that has started all of this in motion, and it has started a really amazing path for me in talking about my faith and human trafficking. So this is going to be a human trafficking presentation, but as I tell everyone, this is a faith-based human trafficking presentation. We are here to worship, and we are here to figure out what we can do as followers of God to fight this injustice. So that's what we're here to talk about. There is tough topics here because he mentioned a few communities, Upland, Claremont, Laverne. Upland and Claremont specifically have very, very terrible human trafficking problems. And most of you are like, "What? Oh no, I've made arrests out of the Motel 6 in Claremont on Indian Hill. I've rescued minor girls there." So, and I'm in San Bernardino County. That's an overlap. So it is happening right here in our community, and that's why I'm here. So we're here to talk about that. So I do a faith-based presentation. I'm a member of, I support a few nonprofit organizations that are faith-based. And so I've, you know, that's where I kind of started doing my faith-based presentations, and then it's kind of expanded as I talked to Chris and I talked to members of my church. And so it kind of got me thinking as to what should motivate us and where should we be going with this and what keeps me going. And a lot of people ask me, I've been doing this for almost 4 years now, and a lot of people ask me, how do you keep moving forward through this? How do you keep going? It's because this is what we're supposed to do, right? This is what we're called to do. We are called to help and protect the needy. And it's all in how you look at it. And an understanding of what human trafficking is and what it looks like will help you to understand what we need to do as members of this community. So as Chris said, there are some issues. I do get very passionate about this. Lynn can tell you that. My friend Lynn over here can tell you. She's seen my down and dirty presentation on this. I can get pretty, I'm deep into this community. So there is sometimes some language, and for some people there are potential triggers, and for those people they know who they are. So I just want to give that warning that there are those potential things. This is my faith-based presentation though. If you want to see my down and dirty presentation, Lynn can guide you in that direction. So I clicked it one too many times. Can you go back? There we go. Okay, so a little bit about me. I have over 25 years of experience in law enforcement. I started when I was only 17 years old working in law enforcement, and so I started out in the city of Long Beach and have worked my way up. I've been with the city of San Bernardino as a police officer since 2006. So I am currently a police detective. I am currently actually assigned to patrol. So being here with you people allowed me to not have to go into patrol this morning, so thank you all. I'll have to go later. So my prior assignments, though, as he spoke of, was the Anti-Human Trafficking Task Force. So I have been on Vice Narcotics as a police officer, and then I later returned to Vice Narcotics as a detective. And I started working cases involving pimping, pandering, and human trafficking. And from there, they sent me to when the county expanded their human trafficking task force, they sent me there. And that has really been genuinely the best 2.5 years of my career. Like, it has absolutely been an absolute pleasure. We have done so much to educate and make the community more aware, and we have rescued so many girls. So it has been really a fantastic, fantastic part of my career. So I am, in fact, a court-recognized expert in human trafficking and the pimping subculture, and that's in San Bernardino, Los Angeles, and Orange counties. So I know what I'm talking about most of the time. So what I'm going to do next is show you a little video. One of the biggest questions I have, like people will call, and there's just a lack of understanding of what human trafficking is. It's one of the biggest problems. Like I have people who work in this field and they'll call because they don't understand some of it. So this is a little video that is produced by the Department of Homeland Security. And what it is basically it describes what human trafficking is and what it looks like. And it's a real easy, so I can knock that part out of the way and then I'll tell you how it affects us.
What is human trafficking? Human trafficking is modern day slavery. It is the exploitation of a person through force, fraud, or coercion. Human smuggling and human trafficking are different crimes. Human smuggling is the illegal movement of someone across a border. Human trafficking is the illegal exploitation of a person. Human trafficking is about exploitation, not transportation. Human trafficking is a highly profitable crime and a violation of human rights. It occurs in every part of the world, including here in the United States. It happens in our big cities, our suburbs, and even in rural towns. It can happen to anyone. Human trafficking victims can be U.S. citizens or from other countries. Victims can be any age, race, or gender. But one thing they share is that they are vulnerable to being exploited. There are different types of human trafficking, including sex trafficking, forced labor, and domestic servitude. Sex trafficking victims are manipulated or forced against their will to engage in sex acts for money. Sex traffickers might use violence, threats, manipulation, or the promise of love and affection to lure victims. Truck stops, hotel rooms, rest areas, street corners, clubs, private residences. These are just some of the places where victims are forced to sell sex. Any person under the age of 18 involved in a commercial sex act is considered a victim of human trafficking. No exceptions. Forced labor takes on many forms, and it happens here in the U.S. and overseas. Through force, fraud, or coercion, victims are made to work for little or no pay. Very often, these victims are forced to manufacture or grow the products that we use and consume every day. Victims of forced labor could be found in factories, on farms, doing construction work, and more. Victims of domestic servitude are hidden in plain sight, forced to work in homes across the United States. Their traffickers sometimes take their identification papers and travel documents in order to limit their freedom. They are prisoners, working as nannies, maids, or domestic help. Every year in the United States, thousands of human trafficking cases are reported, but many more go unnoticed. That's because human trafficking is a hidden crime. Victims might be afraid to come forward, or we may not recognize the signs, even if it's happening right in front of us. We need to bring this crime out of the shadows. That's why the Department of Homeland Security created the Blue Campaign, to take a stand against modern-day slavery and help combat this heinous crime by raising awareness of human trafficking around the country. But we can't do it alone. We need your help. So what can you do to stop human trafficking? Visit the Blue Campaign website to learn more about the signs and indicators of human trafficking. Share this video on social media to help bring this crime out of the shadows. Be an informed consumer. Know who makes the products you buy and the food you eat to help keep slavery-tainted items out of your home. And finally, recognize and report suspected human trafficking. You can submit a tip to federal law enforcement online or by phone. For victim support, you can call or text the National Human Trafficking Resource Center. Help us bring this crime out of the shadows and into the light. Join the Blue Campaign. One voice, one mission, end human trafficking.
So that video helps me explain the difference between smuggling and human trafficking. That's what I commonly get asked questions about. And even suspects that I arrest for human trafficking, I will listen to their jail calls and they'll say, I didn't have 18 Asian people in my trunk. I don't know what they're talking about. It's not about movement. It's about the deprivation of liberty. So let's talk a little bit about those things. So let's talk about what human trafficking looks like in California and the United States. So one of the things it said is to bring it into the light, right, and be more aware. Well, that's exactly what you're doing here today. You are becoming more aware. Through education and awareness, you are now becoming aware of the problem. You know, I mentioned that it's happening right there at the Motel 6 in Claremont. I'm sure some of you are still like, are you sure? I'm sure. I'm so sure. It's also in the massage parlor in Upland on Foothill. Like, it's really happening here. So let's talk about what that looks like. So in 2018, there were 10,949 cases reported to the National Human Trafficking Hotline. These are only the cases reported to the Human Trafficking Hotline. In my time as a human trafficking detective, I probably answered or probably handled maybe 10 cases through the hotline, but I have over 300 cases. So if you imagine that and you multiply it and you look at that number, this is just what's reported to the human trafficking hotline. This is not the actual number of cases that exists. So this is up from 8,759 in 2017. And we have like almost 1,000% increase in cases over the last 10 years. Why do you think that is? It's because people know what it is now. Human trafficking has been going on for a lifetime. It has been going on for years. It has been going on for decades. It has been going on. It's mentioned in the Bible, right? So it is now just being identified as what it is, and people are starting to understand, and people are starting to report it because they're starting to understand that this is slavery. And I'll tell you, I've talked to traffickers, and they know they're slaveholders. They know it. They've told me. So this is what we're looking at. So California leads the way with 15% of the cases. The next closest state is Texas. I'm sure that might be surprising to you. Texas has a huge human trafficking problem. So there were 20,500 runaways reported to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children last year. That number's actually down, which I'm grateful for. Unfortunately, despite the number going down, there's still a 1 in 7 chance that they will become human trafficking victims in the first 48 hours. And that is pretty common. I have many survivors that tell their stories, and it starts with, well, I was mad at my parents and I ran away from home and somebody helped them out. So let's talk about the types of human trafficking crimes. These are the sex trafficking crimes. So I'm specifically talking here for the most part about sex trafficking. That is what we spent our time investigating. That's what I spent my time investigating. But that doesn't mean that labor trafficking and domestic servitude doesn't exist here, because it does. And a lot of people don't understand that it exists. It's, well, they've got a job at a massage parlor. That's not a job if they're holding their documents and they're not allowed to leave. So we're looking at a lot of different types of human trafficking, but I talk mostly specifically about sex trafficking. And that's because I focus on, and our team focused on, the juveniles that were affected by sex trafficking. We're looking at the minors who were human trafficked and exploited. So a lot of what I talk about kind of leans that direction. So please don't misunderstand that there's not more. It's just we don't have 40 hours. I've got like 45-ish minutes. So let's talk about human trafficking. A lot of people think it's trafficking. Like, if there's traffic in the word, there has to be movement, right? There doesn't have to be movement. It's actually the restriction of movement that makes it human trafficking. It's the deprivation of liberty. And like they said in the video, force, fraud, or coercion. That can look like a lot of things. That can look like threats. The movie Taken, isn't that everyone's idea of what human trafficking looks like? Some cop's daughter gets trafficked to Paris. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but that's not what we're seeing. What we generally see is promises of an upgraded lifestyle, promise of a place to live, promise of love, a mistaken belief that they are actually in a committed, loving relationship, and then the trafficker convinces them to work as a prostitute to make easy and fast money. So let's look at human trafficking. It's the deprivation of liberty of another for the purpose of performing commercial sex acts through force, fraud, coercion, threat, or fear. So if there's a minor, if there's a child involved, and I'll just call them child, you know, minor is very legal. If there's a child involved, it's always human trafficking because a child cannot put themselves out there to work as a prostitute. In the state of California, you cannot arrest a child for prostitution. They cannot consent to sex, so therefore they cannot consent to prostitution. And that's the way it should be. That's absolutely the way it should be because we should be looking at them as children because that's what they are. So if a child is working as a prostitute, somebody is helping them. They either drove them there, are watching them, provided them with condoms, or rented them a motel room. All of those things are human trafficking. If you are providing a place and a space for them to work as a prostitute and then getting them to work as a prostitute, even if it's mental manipulation, especially a child who has a history of foster care, of molestation, of abuse, of homelessness, of substance abuse, you're taking advantage of those weaknesses, and that is human trafficking. So pimping. Pimp is such a funny word because for a very long time it was very glamorized, right? For any of us in here that remember MTV, there was Pimp My Ride and things like that. Pimping things became a very glamorous term. Like that was upgrading. Well, that comes from a reason. Pimps will actually tell the girls that they want to upgrade their life. That word is used over and over again. So therefore, then the companies like MTV and those production companies took advantage of that idea, as it sounds in music and in songs and all of those things, and then they started putting it onto other things other than people. Well, in the same time that they have Pimp My Ride and Pimp My Crib and whatever those things are, there are girls being human trafficked from people saying the same thing. I will make your life better. I will take care of you. But that pimp is living off the earnings of another. So pimping is actually kind of like a verb. So like if you're deriving your living, whole or in part, off the earnings of another who works as a prostitute, you're a pimp. So someone who stays in the motel room with the girl that she paid for prostitution, somebody who accepts money, somebody who allows her to buy. I just talked to a girl the other day on the street, and she said, please don't take that car. I just bought it for him. And it's an Escalade. I don't know if you can afford an Escalade. I can't. With a blue paint color that has the glitter in it, it's ridiculous. But she was so proud. So pimping is deriving the living whole or in part of another who works as a prostitute. Pandering is the enticement, inducement, coercion by force, fraud, or fear to work as a prostitute. So it's anything that's assisting a prostitute in working as a prostitute. So I've gone through hundreds of thousands of digital documents, cell phones, records, text messages, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. I've gone through thousands of digital records, and these girls will reach out to their pimp and say, I need condoms, I need a phone charger, I need something to eat, I need to go use the restroom, I need, and anyone who is helping them with that, supporting them with that, forcing them to do that, because oftentimes it's one more date, I need to use the restroom, one more date, I need to eat, I'm hungry, one more date. That type of relentless behavior, that type of support of a girl working as a prostitute is pandering. And a lot of times, pandering and pimping are rolled into human trafficking. So that's the state of California has some very great laws on human trafficking and pimping and pandering. We have some of the greatest laws in the country. The unfortunate reality, and this is my little mini soapbox, Prop 57 took the teeth out of some of our human trafficking of a minor cases. Prop 57 made it a nonviolent offense. Off my soapbox. So Prop 57 changed that, so now it is probation eligible, but not in the county of San Bernardino. So the county of San Bernardino is where I work. That's where I was working for the Human Trafficking Task Force. Our DAs and our district attorney do not allow that to happen. So we do not allow that. So these are the crimes that we look at, and these are the crimes that we investigate. And if you listen to those crimes, it seems pretty simple, right? Like that's not something, like you don't think about it in those terms. You don't think about, you see the girl walking down the street, let's say, and you don't think about the fact that somebody is forcing her to be there. She may be walking there what appears to be on her own free will, but she's not. Somebody is close by watching what she's doing. She has to make a certain amount of money before she can go in, before she can eat, before she can get medical attention, before she can have, you know, smoke some marijuana. She's being provided cocaine or ecstasy to keep her up, to keep her going. She's not as free as you think she is. I say she a lot because most of my victims are female. We do have male victims, and we do have victims who are different gender identities. So we do have transvestites and different gender identities. So when I say girls, it's just because that's a majority of what we dealt with. So who are these victims? A lot of people think that they're all just throwaway kids. So we're just talking about foster youth. This isn't happening in my community. That's not true. That's just not true. Victims come from all backgrounds. They're all ages. The youngest victim I've rescued is 13, and she was a prostitute before I met her. So I've rescued numerous 13-year-old victims, 14-year-old victims, 15-year-old victims. They're very easily manipulated at that age, very easily manipulated. But I also have had victims all the way up into their 30s. They're all races, white, black, Hispanic, mixed, Asian. I have had victims of all races. They're also all sexual orientations, like I said. We have victims who are gay, bisexual. We also have victims who are transvestite, who have different gender identities. A lot are foster children. They're not all foster children, though, but a lot are foster children. A difficult number of foster youth are involved in this, and it's a disproportionate amount of foster youth are involved in this. So when it comes to youth being involved or children being involved in being human trafficked, more of them are foster children than anything else, but not all of them. So please do not misunderstand. I've rescued girls who have one parent, two parents, four parents, no parents, guardians. They live with their grandparents. They live with their parents and their grandparents. I have had kids who have parents who are cops, who have parents who are lawyers, who have parents who are in high places, have parents who are pastors in churches. So they are from all different families. This is not about poor choices. This is not about poor parenting. This is not about the somebody else's problem because I would never let that happen. This is happening all over the place. These traffickers are so manipulative, they can get at almost anyone. Many have a history of sexual abuse. I commonly saw from an immediate family member, usually a father. Some are from wealthy families. One of my victims, her parents had a house in Palos Verdes Estates and a cabin in Big Bear and a ranch in Apple Valley. Yet she was human trafficked, and she was beat mercilessly to work as a prostitute in the city of San Bernardino. Homeless youth are a popular population. They don't have a place to stay, but the pimp will give them one. I don't know how many young girls have told me the story of, well, we didn't have a place to stay, and my mom had all these other kids, and he said he'd give me a place to stay. And then after 2 days, it was, this place ain't free. And then that's it, right? And that's, you know, think about your teenage children, any of you that have teenage children, any, especially the women in here who remember being a young girl. We're pretty impressionable at that age. And if somebody who is giving you a place to stay, you can't go home, you're going to get in trouble, you're violating your probation, or you're just going to get in trouble because your parents are going to kick your butt for not going home. It will push you in the wrong direction, for sure. And then once they do push you in the wrong direction, they take advantage of that. Well, who's going to want you now? You're a prostitute. And unfortunately, if you think about it, sit here for a second and think about that. If your daughter came to you and said, I was a prostitute, or had to work as a prostitute, before I started my conversation and you met me, what would you think about that? You'd be pretty angry. You would think she's made a lot of bad choices. But I hope by the end of this that you understand that it's not about bad choices, it's about coercion. So they come from educated families. I've talked to girls who are like, my dad's a doctor and my mom's in computer science, can you not call them? Like, no. It's my point is that it's just about anyone. This can affect anybody. And I see people starting to squirm, and I'm sorry if it makes you uncomfortable, but everyone needs to know about this because I need you to be able to identify victims, because that's the whole point, right? Is once we become aware and we provide education awareness, when we know better, we do better. So where are the victims found? Oh my gosh, I cannot, bring me back for another 45 minutes on social media. I could do 40 hours on social media. Social media, social media, social media. I am so glad that I found all of my classmates from high school from 25 years ago on social media. The problem is, if they can find me, the pimps can find our children. And that's what's happening. Social media is just this open world that everyone can connect with everybody. And Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, and then all the dating sites. Oh, The dating sites are ridiculous. So pimps are on these sites and they troll for people. And I can tell you, I've created undercover accounts. I hope no one works for any of those industries because we're not allowed to do that. So I may have created undercover accounts. I may have created undercover accounts. As soon as you create one of these accounts, let's say, as soon as you create one of these accounts and you are the right age, the right look, whatever, even just a young, I just put a picture of a young blonde female up onto my account. I had 100 messages within the first 15 minutes, and some of them were pimps. Because they want to know what my get down is. They want to know what I'm doing. They want to know if I'm going to hustle. They want to know if I'm looking for money. And so we'll talk in a minute about how long, what happens once that happens. So they reach out to them. So if your children have an open account, like Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, if they have an open account, then they can access them and send them messages. If you have teenage children and you don't understand these websites that they're on or these applications that they're on, you are not doing your job as a parent. That is up for us to figure it out. My now 18-year-old son, when Snapchat first came out, he sat down and he explained it all to me. And every time there's an upgrade, he explains it to me again. Now he's in Arizona, so I have to have the younger one do it. He's not as open about it, but I'm working on it. The older one, though, he would tell me everything about all these sites so that I could maneuver around them and be a part of it and understand how they work. So that's what our job as a parent is also, because these pimps can reach out to them by just looking at the stuff that's on their site. Just real quick, the way to combat that is you create the site for your kids, you control the email and the password, so you control it. Allow them to have it on their phone, but you have the access to it. That being said, you have to pay attention because they'll create their own. Schools is another place. Pimps will hang out around schools. Like, that worst nightmare happens. The liquor store next to school. Every school's got a liquor store near it, even this one. Every school does, right? So there's a liquor store. And when we were kids, we went to the liquor store or the candy store with our pennies or whatever. We got some candy, some gum. We hung out with our friends. These pimps hang out there, and they start keeping an eye on who stays longer and who doesn't have parents and who likes money and who would be involved and who catches their eye, catches their attention. These pimps are master manipulators. They are very good at what they do. There's books on it. Lynn learned all about those, all the books and the videos on it. These dudes study this, and they study behavior. And if they use their powers for good instead of evil, there would be so much greatness in the world. But they use that power for evil, and they absolutely get into the minds of these kids. Group homes. State of California has changed the group home concept to try and get away from having group homes being recruiting centers for girls. But that is another place where they're all together, so they all talk to each other, and they escape together. The mall is another place. If our children these days have pretty fancy tastes, my kid likes Hollister. He's driving me crazy. And it's not that that's very expensive, but there are some very expensive places at the mall, and the pimps will pay attention and they'll see who wants money. So family members, it's a very sad state of affairs when it's intergenerational, and that is very common. I did it because my mom did it. I did it because my dad was a pimp. I did it because my cousins did it. Everything, you know, it's the family. If your family says it's okay, then it's okay. And so it's a very slippery slope. But basically, they can find them anywhere. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, pimps are everywhere. And especially being that we all have a phone, and that's where they're finding their victims. So how do they get them? That's like one of the biggest questions. How do they get them? Why don't they leave? Those are two of my biggest questions. Like, how is it that these girls get there in the first place? Well, it's a very long, slow burn to get these girls sometimes. Sometimes it takes months. They will talk to these victims here and there for months, finding out their story, finding out what's going on, and being there for the victim until the child or the adult, whichever, needs something. And it may be in the moment, like they need to go because they're mad at their mom or they're mad at their dad or they got their cell phone taken away or they got in trouble at school and they're afraid to go home. Then they reach out and this pimp's like, hey, if you ever need anything, hit me up. And so they do. They hit him up and he's like, I'll come pick you up. I'll send you a bus ticket. I'll send you a plane ticket. I picked up a little girl in San Bernardino once, and she was from Houston, Texas, and she had met the pimp through one of the dating applications, and he sent her a ticket to meet him in Colorado, and then he drove her from Colorado to Vegas to San Bernardino. She had never been to San Bernardino before. Have any of you been to San Bernardino? It's like a whole new world if you've never been there. And she got dropped down at baseline in G, and she said, I am not where I belong. And so finally she called her mom. And so once she called her mom, that's when we all got called in, and he got arrested, and I actually got to fly to Houston to bring him home. And it was bring him back to stand trial, and he's in prison. So they get them by so many different ways. And they spend months. The girl that went from Houston to here, he had spent months talking to her, months. And then when she needed help, he was there, and he sent her a bus ticket. They often care for the victim's basic needs. This goes to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So this is they need food, and clothing and shelter, and they need love and affection and security. And pimps offer these things at every level. It's all superficial. Like, they offer them shelter, but it's the hotel room where they're going to turn tricks. Like, that's not really shelter, right? Like, they offer them food, but it's after they make $600. They offer them love and affection, but it's only after they've made enough money. And it's not real. And usually then it turns into violence when they don't do what they're supposed to. Violence and discipline. So they use ism. Ism is a term that is so ridiculous, I didn't even think it really existed when I first started in this community. And if you read Pimpin' Ken's book, Pimpology, every chapter, it's the 48 laws of the game, every chapter has his ism. Every pimp I've come in contact with uses ism. They tell me they use ism. They often have ism tattooed on their arms. Ism is a thing. So if you've got your Urban Dictionary app on your phone, like I do, everybody does, right? Urban Dictionary? No? I do. So if you throw ism in there and you read it, it'll talk just about this, because ism is a thing. If you watch Pimps Up, Hose Down, it's a documentary available on YouTube, you will also see a lot about ism. They provide them a sense of family involvement in an exclusive community, similar to the gang member concept, right? You're a part of this family. You're connected. You're a part of it. They will take care of you. They will have your back. It's the same similar thing. It's a subculture where everyone has a similar language. They talk the same way. They use the same terms. They talk about the community in the same way. And they all believe that none of us understand. And that's generally the case. We don't understand. But what we do understand is that they are slaves. And they don't understand that that's what they are. They make awesome promises. I said upgrade your life, right? Like pimp my ride. They offer to upgrade their life. I will never forget this beautiful girl that I rescued about a year and a half ago, and she sat there and I said, what did he promise you? Because I always ask the same question, and she's like they all do. They're going to make my life luxurious. And I will never forget the eye roll, and she knows that too, because her and I still talk all the time. Her pimps are in prison also, and that's her and I talk all the time, and she's still struggling to keep out of the life, but she's doing a good job. And I just, that's what they all promised her, to upgrade their life, to make her life luxurious. They promise the victim a home. They tell them they can live with them. They tell them they'll take care of them. They're going to build a team together. Often it's a very romantic relationship. It's you and me against the world. Together we can do anything. We just got to build this money. And most of them are rappers. They have, the internet has allowed everyone to have a SoundCloud or a Hulkshare, or to throw their music up on Apple Music or Spotify. And that's not to say anything bad against the people who have true music that they're able to throw up there. This is just horrible music to me. And they say that their career is going to take off any minute. And their idols are people like Snoop Dogg and 50 Cent and Ice-T. And if any of you wants to sit here and argue with me that the three of them are not pimps, I'll be right here after class. And we can talk about that. So this is, they oftentimes are the CEO type pimp, and they say that they're going to make them a model, or they only have to be a high class escort. Well, once they go out there, that's not what it's about. So why do they stay? Because no one ever gets out. All the people around them don't get out. All the people that are around them are still in it. It's the only way they can make money. They turn towards the government And people say, well, you've got a criminal history. Well, you've been arrested. Well, you've worked as a prostitute. So it's very difficult to get out because they have nowhere to turn to get out. And as we continue to educate and change the minds of people, that will go away because that won't be a stigma anymore. They often hold on to documents. That is not just in international trafficking. That is not in international trafficking. That is right now. I once sat in front of this girl who had a busted eye and busted fingers, and I said, why haven't you left him? She said, he tore up my birth certificate. I said, all I need is the county you were born in and your mother's name. I'll get you five of those. She had no idea. She had no idea that I could get another copy of her birth certificate. She had been human trafficked from 15 years old. She didn't have parents telling her what our parents tell us. You know, and maybe that's not everyone in this room, but 98% of the people in this room had parenting, had parents who told them how to be and how to live and how to exist and could answer questions for them. She didn't have that. She didn't have a parent who could explain that to her. And so at 15, she was human trafficked, and that's all she knew. And he held on to her documents, and when she called the police on him once, he ripped up her birth certificate. She thought she couldn't go. They stay out of shame, fear, or guilt. That goes back to, you know, if you go back to your mom says, ugh, you've been a prostitute. Ugh, I can't tell my friends. I can't tell my family. I can't have you around the family. You're a terrible influence. They don't want to go back to that. They might as well stay where they're at, where they're accepted. So we have to create a culture where people can be accepted. They have nowhere to go. At least he doesn't beat me. I don't know how many girls have sat there and they're like, well, the last one busted my face. Or the last one raped me if I didn't make enough. And so I don't want this one to go to jail, but you can go get that one. And I get them both. So traffickers often use threats. They use violence. They're often armed. A lot of pimps, probably in close to the 50% range, are arrested with a gun in their possession. Most of them are violent criminal offenders who have been arrested in the past for all kinds of violence, including assault with a deadly weapon, kidnapping, carjacking, and all of those things. So, and they're usually members, a lot of them are members of criminal street gangs. In the city of San Bernardino, most are members of criminal street gangs. They often do threats to a family member. They'll say, I'll get your oldest daughter. I will go get your sister. They know all about their family because that's what they've used to manipulate and coerce them. So then they know exactly who, oh, you won't do it? I'll just go pick up your sister. And that is just thrown out there. And then they believe, the girl believes, especially the victim believes, I made this mistake. I don't want to put it on anyone else. Most of these girls love to do acts of service, and I know that that probably seems strange, and you're like, well, yeah, of course. No, they are service-minded people. When I ask every girl I've ever come in contact with, I ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? And it's always nurse, doctor, lawyer, hairstylist, makeup artist. All those things are ways to serve our community, right? That's what they want to do, is be service people. So their home life is even worse. That's very, very common. So a day in the life of the victim, a victim doesn't eat, doesn't sleep, doesn't use the restroom without permission. I can show you hundreds of text messages to prove that. Can I go use the restroom, daddy? Because they always use familial names, daddy, wifey, things like that. I need to use the restroom, one more date. I need to get something to eat, one more date. They suffer physical and emotional abuse. If you are not told that you, if you cannot go use the restroom without being told that you can, that is physically draining on your emotions. It is severe emotional abuse. But they often suffer physical abuse too. They have no control over their situations. Let's not forget about the sex buyers, because sex buyers are just as bad as the traffickers. The sex buyers negotiate prices. I've had to work as a prostitute operator on the street where I talk to sex buyers and have them arrested, and those dudes will negotiate and negotiate and negotiate. And there is nothing more demeaning for a woman than to sit there and negotiate the price that you're willing to do a sex act for. And if you don't think that's true, girls, tell these gentlemen later. Survival mode, they have a trauma-affected brain. It means that they don't think about things the way you and I think about things. In fact, they're very scattered. Things are out of chronological order. They don't make sense. And it's because they're trauma-affected. Oftentimes, victims that we come in contact with have suffered one trauma. They were raped. They were beat. They were robbed. I'm not minimizing those things. Those are horrible things. But these victims are traumatized over and over and over again, from their pimp to the sex buyer, to the sex buyer, to the sex buyer, to their pimp, to the sex buyer, sometimes several times a day. Oftentimes, they're the ones that are arrested. Can you imagine being that girl out there, told you have to do one more date before you can eat, so you haven't eaten, and you're tired, you haven't slept, and your pimp is bothering you, and he beat you earlier because you sassed off to him or looked the wrong direction or didn't do what you were told, and then you get arrested? And that cop takes your money and takes your phone, and then you have to go out and earn money to get all of that back. These girls are, it's so traumatizing. I am very much the type of officer, I don't arrest the girls, like, ever, which probably is not going to help me continue in my future as a human trafficking detective, but I'm hoping that they start to listen to me. Subculture, it's a very exclusive community, and no one ever gets out, and we talked about that. So victim identification, the most important part, right? I want you guys to start identifying it. All of you are like, oh my God, I cannot believe that this is going on. Well, now you need to keep your eyes open because it's going on around you. And I want you to start paying attention. So these are the kind of the things that you are looking for. They're changes in behavior. They start disconnecting from family. They're facing the phone. Just because they're facing the phone doesn't mean they're a human trafficking victim. My kid's face is in his phone all day long. He's not a human trafficking victim. I can see the football Madden YouTube videos there. So, but this is hiding the phone from you is one of those things. They're obsessed with social media or cell phone. They'll get angry if they can't respond. Like you take their phone away and it's like, hey, we're going to have dinner and you're not going to answer this phone. If they get like seriously scared, it's because they may believe that somebody is going to be mad on the other end that they didn't answer when they're supposed to. They generally run away from home and stay away for days at a time, but always come back, or not always, but sometimes come back. They'll leave Friday and come back Monday, or they'll leave Friday and come back Sunday night. They're human trafficked over the weekend, and they go to school during the week. These pimps are smart. Like, if they use their powers for good, whew, the things we could do. They'll take them only for the weekends, and they'll still attend school during the week. But you'll see a difference in their behavior. Their clothing will change. Their behavior will change. They'll be hypersexual. They'll talk about their new boyfriend that seems to have tons of money but no job. Or he's a rapper. My last trial, I had the guy sing his song on the stand, and it was glorious. Oh, it was so glorious. The jury was mortified. So there's a change of physical appearance. They more promiscuous clothing. Oftentimes you can see this through social media. If you have family members that you think might be involved in this, you can see the changes in social media. One day they'll be in a regular t-shirt with their hair in pigtails and they'll look like a normal teenage girl. And 3 months later, they're in a silk teddy taking a picture in a motel bathroom window. That's a sign. I have had Facebooks that look exactly like that. I look back on it, and you can see where they were a regular girl, and then you can see where they're a victim. And people say things like, what happened to you, Miha? Why is that happening? Do the next step. Like, now you've identified it, you see it, take action and do the next step so that somebody can do something about it. So they wear excessive makeup, and they have their nails done, but you didn't get their nails done for them. They show up with tattoos. These are three examples of tattoos here. The girl at the top is 16. The girl in the middle is 14, 15. 15? The girl at the bottom is a little older, was human trafficked from a very young age, though. But you can see it says Daddy's Girl on the top. It's the bag of money emoji. Lots of sack money emojis happening in the human trafficking world tattoos. They have condoms and motel room keys. Motel room keys, since most of us don't go to motels, they usually are the little credit card looking things, but they'll have like Pizza Hut or Domino's, or they'll be blank, or they'll have, you know, thank you for coming or something like that on it. Not like you expect from a Hyatt or a, you know, or a Hilton or a Hampton or something like that. They have clothing or a cell phone that they didn't buy. The mom would be like, I can't take it away from her. Somebody else gave it to her. And I'm like, yes, you can. Mom, God. So when you, what do you do if you believe someone's a victim? Report it. If you see something, say something. You're now all trained in identifying victims of human trafficking. You understand what it is. You understand what it looks like at a basic level. very, very basic level. So now when you see something, you can say something. So the hotline is right here. It was in the blue campaign video also. It's very easy. It's 888-3737-888. It's very easy to remember. It's easy. As soon as you put the words human trafficking into Google, it's the first thing that pops up on purpose. So if you see something, say something. You can talk to people, you can call, you can report. And all you do is report a bunch of information about the person that you're nervous about, and it goes to the local law enforcement, and law enforcement will investigate it. And don't worry about invading someone's life with an investigation, because if they're being human trafficked, the earlier we get to them, the better chance of recovery we have. So please don't be afraid to let us investigate that. Because what if you get them before, and they're at risk, and now we talk to them about it? There's always a positive. There's never a negative. So contact the family. Contact a victim organization. In LA County, it's CAST. In San Bernardino County, it's Open Door. Both of those are available online. For parents, please stay connected to your children. Don't be disconnected. Take that phone out of their hand and sit down and talk to them. Ugh, my son hates it when I do this, but we make him. Brian and I make him sit down to family dinner, and he hates it. He's like, ugh, taking his headphone out of his ear. But it's the best 30 minutes we can have that day with him, right? Because we actually start hearing from him about what's going on. You have to connect with your kids this way. And don't just take their phone away. Put your phone away. Your kids are worth it. So education awareness, that's why all of you are here. I got the warning that it's coming to an end. So what can you do? So let's get into what can you do. Pray. I know it seems so ridiculous, but it is the most simplest thing we can do, right? I pray every Sunday for all my human trafficking victims. I can actually say their names. And I pray for them by name, but I also pray for all the ones that I'm going to come in contact with. And I hope that they will be open to hearing me and open to allowing me to be there for them. The very first blanket drive I did at my church, the very first blanket I got, I took with me to work, and it went to that girl that I told you about, Life is Luxurious. She still has that blanket. That blanket was blessed by my church, and it was blessed as I gave it to her, and I told her, this is a blessing from my church, and she still has it. Collect items. It seems simple, like you're like, oh, I'm not really a part of it. We need blankets, and we need toiletries, and we need stuff for the girls. We need clothing. We need yoga pants and t-shirts and bras and underwear, and we need to collect all of these things. My church collects all of these things year-round in a bucket in the church. Volunteer with ministries that are already established. There's already outreach ministries established and men's ministries established, especially right here in our community at the Purpose Church in Pomona. They have everyone free. It's a human trafficking ministry. You don't even have to start your own. All you have to do is put an event in your calendar and go to it. It's that easy. It's that easy. And Everyone Free is always collecting all of these same things. Blankets, toiletries, stuffed animals, journals, cards, everything. They quarterly do stuff. So you can volunteer with ministries that are already established. So I've already given you like the easiest things in the world. You can pray. You can do that on a Sunday. You can do it at home. You can do it in your car. You can do it wherever. Collecting items. You already go to Target. You already go to the store. Collect these things while you're there and think, you know what? I can get these extra items. Volunteer with ministries are already established, a little bit extra commitment level, but then let's go down to creating your own ministry, because that's what I know Lynn's going to do here. She's going to start knocking on all your doors, so avoid her if you need to. But think about listening to her, because she's taken a 40-hour course on how to make this happen, and she's got some big dreams, and I totally support her 100%. I think she's going to do big things in this congregation when it comes to this. But things that you can think about are scholarship programs. These girls need to go to school, and it's not just college, it's beauty school, you know, like Marinello and things like that, and nail school and, you know, esthetician school, medical things, all of those things that they can go get a job that will give them money and give them a good paycheck on their own. Doing awareness and outreach. If you go through the 40-hour class that Lynn went to, you can do outreach with Open Door. Poster campaigns for hospitals and schools and things like that. Even if all you do is monetarily support that, CAST and Open Door, things like that, they will make the posters and post them. They just need help paying for it. Adopt a local program. My church adopted Open Door. You can adopt a local program, CAST, or one of the other programs that's close by. Right here, David and Margaret House. Anyone familiar with David and Margaret? One of the best human trafficking homes for girls in this area. Okay, and it's right here in Laverne. That's where you need to make your focus, is David and Margaret. And they pray for David and Margaret because they had to remove their pastor because of government issues. So they had to remove their pastor. So pray for them and see what you can do to help and support them. So let's talk about the men now. I brought it up real little bit before, but now we're going to quickly talk about this. I can't talk about this topic without talking about the demand. We have got to tackle the demand. And this is where all the men in the room are going to start squirming. Because I'm talking about porn addiction. And I'm talking about you going out and picking up on girls. And I'm not saying you. Like, I don't know if it's you in this room. But I'm saying that that's what we're seeing. When I do my programs, when I'm the operator and I'm the one with the ad posted and I'm answering the phone, I talk to men all day long who are from churches, who are elders, who are pastors, who are just members of a church, faith-based, married, have children, and they are reaching out and trying to negotiate a commercial sex act with a child or with an adult even. Either way, they're exploiting a woman or a man. So we need to talk about... The victims are the ones who are the complaint, right? Because they're walking back and forth. Why are they walking back and forth? They're advertising for men to pick them up. Men are the problem. A man, a trafficker, a man or a woman, but a trafficker, because I have arrested female pimps also, a trafficker made them walk on the street so a man will go up and make a date with them. They're the one arrested. We have to change that, and we're working on it. But we need to make sure that men know that that's not okay. When you pick that girl up, you are promoting human trafficking. So we use a lot of press releases. There's a lot of other things we can do, like changing our crimes to have higher consequences. We already have crimes on they just a couple years ago made it illegal, or they decriminalized prostitution for minors. So we no longer arrest a child for prostitution. But they didn't, on the other hand, make it a felony for a man to pick up a minor prostitute. Why not? That's ridiculous. We had an opportunity and we didn't seize it, and we should have. But the problem is congressmen get arrested for prostitution, so they're not going to allow that to change. But we need to push, and we need to push that forward, and we need to push that agenda forward, and we need to say, that's okay if they get arrested. They need to take those consequences. It's not okay. So Men Standing Against Trafficking is the Purpose Church's ministry. I bring them up a lot because they're close by and everything's already in place. They go out the 18th of every month, whatever day it is, they go out the 18th of every month and they stand on the street corner at Holt and Gary. Holt, if you don't know, is a place known for a high volume of prostitution activity. And they go stand out there, and it is absolutely statistically true that when they are out there, prostitution goes way down. The girls go in, the pimps go away, and the Johns go home. The biggest thing is the Johns go home. They don't want to see signs that say real men don't buy sex, because that's not what they want to see. So these are some of the local organizations I want to tell you about, and I'm right at the end. Local organizations, Everyone Free at the Purpose Church. Open Doors, the Family Assistance Program, that's what I work and volunteer for. A lot of my work is with. They support San Bernardino County. Redeeming Love is a house in this area that supports adult women. Rebirth Homes supports adult women in Riverside County. Both of those homes are faith-based. That's why I bring them up, because they are homes that could use our support, especially books and things like that. Erase Child Trafficking is very near and dear to my heart. I'm actually on the board for Erase Child Trafficking, and we do education awareness across the country for law enforcement, as well as make sure girls get to the resources they need. We move them, we bridge the gap of when they go to a shelter, and then they go to a long-term placement shelter. We bridge that gap. We get the girls where they need to go, and I also push on police departments across the country to do the investigations they should. And that's been a lot of fun. Journey Out is an organization in Los Angeles County that helps to rescue the girls out of prostitution and human trafficking. They're just like Open Door, but in Los Angeles County. So the Southern California Faith Coalition Against Trafficking, if you want to take a picture of that website real quick, SoCal Faith Coalition Against Human Trafficking.org, it's organized by Susan Patterson. She's a motivational speaker who is believed that God has put it on her heart to fight human trafficking, and she's doing an amazing job. She's written a book on it. Her book is amazing also. You can get it through Amazon. But she does quarterly meetings in every county about what you can do as a church family to fight against human trafficking. She says it like this: 50% of the community is faith-based, is a faith community, if we can just mobilize 10% of that 50%, we can end a social injustice that we put our mind to. So she's trying to mobilize that 10% of us. And so me, I'm one of the speakers that she uses to go out and do speaking, and I do things like this. The next meeting is 11/5/2019. You have to go on the website to see where the location is. They haven't posted it yet. It's always at a church. So I'll let you take a picture of that. So these are some of the resources that I talked about, Pimpology. I do not recommend that you buy Pimpology. I don't need to support him, but if you can get your hands on a copy, it's interesting to see. Or you can just look it up online. It's on YouTube. He has a college. Pimpin' Ken's College. He reads the book to you. If you can stomach it, it's interesting. Girls Like Us is one of the best books I've ever read about human trafficking. Get it on Audible. She's an amazing speaker. How You Can Fight Human Trafficking is Susan Patterson's book. And Renting Lacey is one of the most unbelievable books that explains to you what it's like for a prostitute to have to negotiate with a sex buyer and how they treat the girls. Then as soon as you read that book, you will never think that a prostitute is there because she wants to again, ever. I read the first chapter and I was in tears. So these are some of the other things, all of, you know, the books you have to pay for, but the things on the bottom, the movies and documentaries, all of these are free, and you can locate them on Vimeo and YouTube and things like that. I can send them to you to send out if you would like. Almost done. So I'm a good Lutheran, so we're all about good works. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So we can't sit here and not do something. And that's something that Mike and I have talked about at length. You can't sit here and not do something when it's so easy to do something. Not one of you can leave here and think that you don't have the power to do something in this because I gave you stuff you can do in your car on the way home. So I expect you and I am asking you and I'm motivating you and I'm calling you all to action as followers of God and this beautiful human who speaks to you at this church. I am asking you to move forward. You guys have done amazing things overseas. Now let's do amazing things here too.